Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hi, little Benoos.
Hi. Hi, how are you? How's it going?
Good. Ben got me sick, long distance somehow.
Yeah.
So now it's my turn to be sniffling, coughing, and doing all of that fun stuff. So it's great. I'm doing great.
No, well, bitch.
No,
But really glad to be here. Today is Real Housewives of New York Day. The return, the reboot number 4 of Real Housewives of New York. Man.
Seriously. It is reboot number 4. It is. Yeah. We sometimes forget that there was an OG reboot back in the day. But yeah, this is reboot number 4.
Yep, this is number 4. You know who else has to reboot? People who step in shit a lot. That's what we do. You just reboot yourself. But we're excited to cover that. Check out Ben's new show, What's Your Order, on YouTube. It's a YouTube exclusive, and it's fantastic. He's got a lot of great guests over there putting Bravo things in order. Very funny, entertaining way. It's killing the internet. So thank you for making that little Benoos.
Well, thank you, Ronnie. Can I just say thank you to Christina Ariel, for coming on to the latest episode where we ranked the top 5 friends of the Housewives universe. And a programming note, well, as Ronnie mentioned, I was sick, and then my guest was sick, so I had to basically 2 recording sessions had to get postponed, and then I'm going to be traveling for basically 2 or 3 weeks. So there will not be a new episode probably for like 3 weeks of What's Your Order. So thank you for your patience, and please don't abandon it. But the episodes will be back after this week.
Okay, perfect. Also, we're going on tour starting October 3rd. The announcement will be up on our website later this week with ticket links. So check back for that. If you want this recap on video, you get that at Patreon along with bonus episodes. This week, we are going to do a trailer trash for The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Let that sneeze out, Ronnie.
Yeah, I had to sneeze. Potomac, so that will be up later today, everybody. And today, it's Real Housewives of New York City, reboot number 4. What say you, Ben?
You know, I enjoyed it. I'm sure everyone was expecting me to be Mr. Sour Pants all over again, because I famously hated the original reboot right out of the gate. And this one I enjoyed. I still think, obviously, it's a far cry from classic Roni. We have to mourn those. That's over. We can't keep on comparing. I get it. I think it's fine. I think it's good. What I will say is that I feel like we have more to have fun with as recappers than we did with the original reboot. I think losing Brynn is a wonderful thing. I think that the new girls seem to be all right. I'm a little on the fence about Haley Glassman. I'm a little concerned that she's playing the role of Haley Glassman instead of just being herself. She seems a little affected, but I kind of feel like she's being a little on, you know, where she's like, oh my God, look at me, I'm stoned. But she's teetering, she's on the line, but she's okay. She's okay. Like
she's my favorite one.
Really?
I don't think she's faking anything. I think she's really legitimately cuckoo and stoned out of her brain all the time.
I think she's definitely cuckoo. Yeah, I'm just saying, it wasn't like Brynn, where right away I was like, okay, this girl is fake. I just was like, I had a few moments where she was like, I mean, I was so high. I mean, I don't even remember. I mean, I was so high. Where I was like, okay. It kind of reminded me of like that friend from, you know, your friend who like drinks for the first time at 23 or smokes weed for the first time at like 25. And then they're like talking like, oh my God, look at me, I'm so stoned. And you're like, okay, like, you get it. But it was a minor blip on the radar.
Or you give your friend a shot of like punch and you're like, oh, this is alcohol. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so wasted. But you know that there was no alcohol in there.
Exactly. She's sort of giving me those vibes. But I honestly,
she's giving me Marisol on roller skates.
She does have the Marisol face. She looked like Marisol and Carol Radziwill, like, mushed together. On roller skates. So
one of my bigger issues with this. Well, it's one of my only issues so far. I mean, it's only episode one. I really enjoyed it. I did find that they look alike. And I think that is a housewife's problem with city, you know, Salt Lake, Salt Lake, people couldn't tell Meredith and Lisa apart. I still don't get that one, but they still say that sometimes. The Rhode Island one.
Rhode Island.
Like, who's who, you know?
I know.
So sometimes that comes out with new housewives shows. That happens with new housewives shows where you're like, who are these people? I think Daisy and Haley look kind of the same, but.
Yes, they do.
There's a lot of blonde people on this one, we'll say, or a lot of blondes. So it's hard to pick people out in the crowd.
Yeah. The good news is I feel like people have gotten the memo. They know what the assignment is. So I feel like the show is going in the right direction. You know what? I think actually you mentioned Rhode Island. I think that's a perfect comp. Like the first episode of Rhode Island I thought was good. I didn't think it was as amazing as everyone else did. But I feel like the show got stronger and stronger and stronger as it went along. And by the time it was done, I was like, great. Great cast, great new franchise, great new faces, even though they're all the same. So I feel good about it. I feel like this is good. By the way, I'm going to Pizzeria Mama on Friday. I just want to point that out. I will be there. I'm traveling Pizza Mama. To Providence.
You better get the name right before you show up there.
Pizza Mama. I love a turkey. I love a pizza. just slipped it to. Turkey promotion.
Turkey mama. So here we go. I liked it. I especially love this opening. It is Carol, a la Carrie Bradshaw, sitting crisscross applesauce on her bed with her MacBook. Every great love story begins somewhere. Mine began with a city called JFK Jr. He just loved me so much. He's on television again right now in his own show. I wonder if he's mentioned me.
I couldn't help but wonder about New York City. Is there a world where there's an old York City? And am I the old York? Well, New York is famous for its skyline, its culture, and the people who call it home. Also, it's Marathon.
New York City is like one of those dates where you're saying, sure, he might be older and he might smell like pee, but who am I kidding? I've never dated anyone older.
And just like that, it's a collection of millions of stories where every street holds a chance to dream bigger, to chase the impossible, to lose everything, and a counter to sit on crisscross applesauce because you're young and hip.
You can lose everything in New York City and start all over again, as long as you've got $20,000 a month for a walk-up with no air conditioning.
There are countless cities in the world, but there's only one New York. And in New York, there's only one invisible staircase, and that's mine.
Just in case you didn't remember that I'm young, fresh, and still sexually viable, I'm wearing a happy face costume.
Like, oh, Carol.
This was the most, this is the funniest.
Her young and hip thing is so funny that it's still the same from her first go round on New York. She's like, look at me, I'm Carol. The only shock here was that it was not Carol on the rollerblades. I really thought it was going to be Carol.
I know, that was hilarious. Well, and obviously, I think I'm surmising that they added Carol into the show a little bit later. Because I felt like we'd heard that the new cast was filming, and then it was like not long after that Carol was filming also, and she was a friend of it, and all of a sudden she was housewife. So I think they had to sort of stitch her in here because she probably wasn't part of, like, she wasn't in the orbit.
She wasn't the ridge. No, hell yeah, no. So she wasn't in the ridge. They filmed a little bit, and then they saw the Epstein files came out, and she was in there, and they're like, get Carol back. Someone can give Carol some Epstein file shit. We'll be modern. We'll be on the edge.
Yes, exactly. The other thing, I forgot what the other thing I was going to say about Carol.
Well, how could you do that? It's not like there's someone interrupting your every thought every 20 seconds.
I forget what I was going to say about Carol.
But
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Smiley face? Was it about smiley faces?
It was about, I don't know, but they clearly have stitched her in, which is, I just think it's so funny that they did it in this like blatant Carrie Bradshaw way. And someone online was mentioning how funny it is that like the Roni reboot has Carol pretending to be Carrie Bradshaw, whereas The Golden Life actually has the real life Carrie Bradshaw in it because Candace Bushnell is part of that cast, I guess.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but wonder who's the real Carrie.
So much of our life can be told in a story of shoes.
Oh, God.
I remember what I was going to say. They, you know, the cast, the title card that they show, going to commercial or coming back from commercial, Carol's right in the center, actually, which is hilarious, but she's in this like little like mini skirt thing that's kind of poofy, and she's sort of standing awkwardly, and every time I look at it, I know this is going to be my guiding light, my North Star for the season is just like waiting for that card to come up and her just awkwardly sort of swaying in the middle like,
look at me, I'm in a short skirt.
Do you remember when MJ came on Traitors and they were talking about her and I think she heard them and she was just in the back of the room standing there like, ooh, that's what Carol's pose reminds me of. Or like Lala, people were comparing Lala to the MJ thing when Lala came in to yell at Danny while he was getting his drag makeup done on the Valley and she was just standing there like, ugh, that's how Carol looks in her opening.
It's literally so funny to me. It is like the funniest image. Did you notice that as well? Because I couldn't, every time it came up, I would chuckle. She just standing there like,
look at me. I'm young and hip. I went to Banana Republic today.
Yeah, because they tell them, I think, make movement. You know, don't just stand still. Mm-hmm. Make a little movement. So some of them do like a shoulder sing, like Sonya always did, like a shoulder. They all have their thing. And she just kind of goes back and forth between each leg.
Oh, it's great. That's great. I just want that on loop. It's her like.
Oh, but an opening filled with camp. I really like that. And kind of poking fun of it. Carol.
100%. I was like, already, I was like, okay, the reboot's already in a really good place just by having this ridiculous opening with Carol.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, so we open at Daisy's apartment, and my first thought was, why? This apartment seems small. Why are we here? Is this another Gina situation? But we find out that Daisy is not, well, I guess she's not as rich as you normally would be to be on these shows, but she is Martha Stewart's hair and makeup lady, or just makeup lady, I don't know. So she comes in and Martha's like,
oh, hi, it's good to be here. Yeah, I just wanted to come over and get a little makeup done before I have to go to a ladies thing this afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bravo was like, we are going to front load the reboot of the reboot with as much star power as possible. So, well, we have Carol first, but then we're like, we're gonna start you with Martha Stewart. We're not even gonna really start with the Housewives. We're just gonna put Martha Stewart first and hope that she can put her juju on this the way she did with Bethany and the first time around. So
it was not a choice, honestly. It was good to see Martha, but
I love
very that. Odd choice, because it looks like you're watching a show about a makeup person on these shows, which actually we've said for years would be a great show, like Priv, the show, you know, just show Priscilla, like the most famous Housewives makeup artist ever, and all the shit that they must talk working with all the different Housewives. And we've said for years that would be a great show, you know, just all the makeup people, the glam people, follow them. So this was a little odd that they opened it where it looks like it's kind of about a glam person, but it's because Martha did seem like the housewife. I mean, she would have been perfect on here.
She would have been. And I think that Bravo needs to really lean into casting more, like more women who are like older than 45 as the housewives, because like the ones that are 30 is just sometimes they just haven't baked enough. You know, it's like you've opened the oven a little bit too early. Okay, you let out too much of the steam. They're still dealing with their kids being three. And like sometimes you get wonderful housewives who are in their 30s. But a lot of times you get people who just don't have their personality yet. Like they're not jaded enough or world weary. And so like I would love someone who is Martha Stewart to be a housewife. But the other thing that you touch on is that like you know, Daisy being a hair and makeup person, she's sort of like, she's like a, in what, I don't, I'm trying to think of what it, would you say she's not service industry, but like the housewives are normally at the top of their like little, they're like employment verticals. And here we have someone who like works for someone who's wealthier than her and is like at their beck and call. And that's a little bit of a strange thing for the housewives.
You know, it is like because someone... when you're watching Housewives and you see the hair and makeup person, their job is to be going, oh, okay, Shannon, that is hilarious. Yeah. What a great story. Tell me more. And be fake and just say everything that the customer wants to hear. And when anybody varies off of that path on Housewives, we're like, this is not about you. It's like when the waiter comes to the table and they're like, oh my God, hi, everybody. Can I sit down? You're like, no, this is Housewives. Get the fuck out of here. This is not about you, you know? And yeah. So there's, I think, kind of that natural reaction to be like, why are you talking?
Yeah.
Why are you talking when downstairs. Martha Stewart is in the room? You know?
Yeah. It, like, the show is very much upstairs, downstairs. And we really only care about the upstairs on these shows. So it's weird that downstairs, yeah. It's an upside down house, basically. But, I mean, it sounds like Daisy
downstairs has... is just where you make Luann sleep to piss her off. You know?
Watch her spiral out. There was a spider. Yeah. But that being said, I actually really like Daisy. I think she's my favorite of the three newbies. So Martha comes over.
I liked her as well. You know, I'm Bravo traumatized in a way, especially from New York. And Bravo's given me my happiest moments in life. But it's also, you know, disappointed as a viewer when it comes to New York. So I'm not going to just jump on the effusive train just yet. But I did like everybody knew. I'm just, you know, I'm going into this yeah. relationship carefully. I don't want to be like,
oh my God, I love everybody. It's bad. They're cheering it. It's a mistake.
Because I've been hurt. I've been hurt, you guys. Okay? And that was me being yeah. vulnerable.
Yeah. Your feelings are valid.
Yeah.
So,
that ass.
Martha comes in, you know, she's disgusted by this tiny apartment. And then she's like, do you have a piece of bagel for me? Which is an interesting quantity for a bagel.
Yeah, little piece of a bagel, not a full bagel. I'm not a monster. All right, just a little piece. All right, well, I would walk from one end of the house to the other, but I've already done that. All right, just do what you're going to do. Just make me look gorgeous. I have to go to a women's event later. It's crazy. Have you heard about the John JFK thing?
Well, first we hear about Daisy. So Daisy's like, oh my God, working for Martha? It's fucking nuts. Like, 1 week I'm doing her makeup. The next week I'm on a camel with her in Dubai. It's crazy. We see a picture of them on a camel.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I'm wearing Zara. I'm like, lady, you're supposed to be a Real Housewife. Just say you're wearing YSL. Okay. So then she says, I learned how to do makeup like 100 years ago working at Scores. Scores was a gentleman's club. And I would go into the dressing room and watch how all the girls would do their makeup. And it's like also where I met Psy. And no, we're not strippers.
I know, she keeps saying, God, don't worry, we're not strippers. Like, why would we care? You're more judgy of being a stripper than I think the audience would be. But I think it's hilarious that Martha's makeup lady is a Scores girl. That shit's hilarious. And just the fact that it's someone who's like, you know what? You know where I had the dream of doing makeup? When I saw strippers at Scores. I was like, I know. That's it right there. That's what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Stripper makeup. For homemakers.
And I would like to apply the lessons of the strippers from Scores to the waspiest lady in all of America, Martha Stewart.
Please make me look like Cinnamon on her Saturday night shift. Thank you.
Yeah, so Psy and Daisy are talking in another scene. We see like a flashback. And Psy's like, oh yeah, we used to work at Scores. That was so hilarious. Oh, do you remember that guy who tried to get me to suck his dick? And she's like, oh, I probably did suck his dick. Like, oh my God, she's just being in her 20s working at Scores and having guys get you try to suck their dick. This is so fun.
But we were not strippers, though. We were not strippers. Just want to reiterate, we weren't strippers.
Scores was like a huge thing. I feel like everybody went to Scores. Like it was a really glamorous nightclub.
It was the thing. I don't know. Is it still a thing? It might be still a thing.
It's still there.
I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it's still there, but I don't know if it's still like people go there to be cool. Like, yeah.
So Daisy I mean, is asking.
That's you pretty have. Big. Wow. Yeah. Went there when I was like 20, 21, I guess. It was fun.
You're like, is this the place where we learn how to etch into stone? Like, no. But it's called Scores.
It's like, it's like girl strippers are so nice. Because gay strippers like, uh-huh. Just like hitting you in the face with their wiener and their jock strap or whatever. And just like kind of rolling their eyes, taking your money. And I feel like the women strippers were just so much nicer. And of course, I wanted to like go to lunch with everybody. And I was trying to have conversations with everybody. You know, I don't know. Don't take a gay guy to a strip club. I'm like, what do you like? Oh, my God. I love your outfit. Did you make that?
Next thing you know, you're on an overnight odyssey through Coney Island until finally you sorry, it's a little Nora reference. Erica Jane. Yeah, smash up a candy. Martha Stewart is talking about how she – Nora. Erica Jane.
My song was in the background of that one. I'm basically an Oscar winner.
So Martha Stewart is talking about how she's been watching Love Story lately, which is the JFK Jr. show. And Daisy's saying, oh, my God, yeah, that's interesting. I've been reading Carol's book. And so Martha talks about how, like, the Monday – she goes, did I ever tell you that I saw JFK the Monday before the Friday that he died? Which is sort of a funny way to say it. Like normally you'd be like, did I ever tell you I saw JFK just a few days before he died? But she's like, the Monday before the Friday? The noon before the 3 p.m. when he died? And so –
She yeah, so says, I saw him, and, you know, he really wanted to come talk to me about Martha Stewart Living, my magazine, at the time, because he was having problems with George, that was his magazine, so he asked to pick my brain, and I said, sure, so we went to have a lovely dinner, and I told him, please tell me you're not getting on a plane this weekend and driving it yourself, do not get a co-pilot. I told him that, he didn't listen to me. I also told him, really, he shouldn't be eating that bread out of the basket, because I saw one of the busboys put it in there with his bare hands. Sure enough, he died with a cold on a plane with no co-pilot. I could just die.
I mean, I told him to listen to me. My magazine is literally called Living. And guess what? He didn't listen. So, so cruel. Too soon.
Not even a week after. Well, listen, in fairness, it's called Martha Stewart Living. I don't make promises to people.
And I'm still here.
I told him, listen, Junior, you should rename your magazine George Living. All right? And he refused to listen.
Oh, God. So then Daisy.
Is it too soon? It's not too soon, right?
It's not too soon. I just know that I'm hopping on a plane in a few days, and I'm like, I shouldn't be making these jokes. I should not be inviting bad karma.
I know. We're both about to travel, and we're making plane jokes. But I remember that day, actually. I was in Las Vegas with my family, and my sister and I woke up late, and we missed our plane and watched about him dying on a plane as we were in the airport missing our plane. And I thought, wow, what a day to miss a plane. I mean, it was Southwest Airlines. It wasn't like our private little plane that we flew ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, the days. Oh, the non-glamorous days.
I was driving back from Montreal. I was up by my school. You sophomore year, you had to spend like a semester in the summer at school. And so I was in New Hampshire. And so my friends and I went to Montreal for like the night or something. And so we just were driving back and the news hit. I remember my friend Sarah in the backseat was like sniffling. She was like crying. And I was like, really? But yeah, I will always remember that. Driving back from Montreal and hearing about JFK Jr. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that was a day. So Martha remembers it too. She's like, you know, I told him so. I've thought about it so many times. I said, get a co-pilot, change the name of your magazine. Don't eat bread that people have touched. I mean, I just could have changed so many lives. It's like the butterfly effect, you know? And Daisy finishes her makeup. And she's like, oh, my God, Martha being in my house, like, the first time she was here, like, I was so nervous. It's Martha Stewart, my fucking house, okay? It's not nice enough. It's a little two-bedroom. It's got popcorn ceilings. Like, whatever. She loves it. My apartment's always Martha Stewart's ready, you know, or it's always Martha Stewart ready, you know, because she's coming in. Well, Martha doesn't care. She just wants to be out of her house, I think, because she doesn't seem to mind. You're like her 7-Eleven. Nobody walks into the 7-Eleven and expects it to be perfectly done. You know, it's a 7-Eleven. She's coming in there for a bit of a bagel and some store-bought pie.
I think Martha does. I think you're actually incorrect on this. I think Martha does expect there to be a certain like level of cleanliness, but she still wants more because she goes into the room. She comes out in like this yellow outfit and then she's like looking around and she's like, oh my God, you have store-bought pie. This is horrible. Throw that out right away. And Daisy's like, I can't believe I didn't hide that fucking apple pie. I mean, anything store-bought like that, she goes nuts. And then the moment I've been waiting for, the moment, years and years and years of validation I've been seeking on this. I mean, I got it from you, Ronnie, but from someone like Martha Stewart. She looks over at Daisy's stovetop, and there is a Mackenzie Child, whatever it is, tea kettle. And she looks at it. And she goes, oh, I don't like that. No, I don't like that. You should get rid of that. No, I don't like that. I was like, thank you. Thank you, Martha Stewart, fellow hater of Mackenzie Childs.
Someone said it. Down with the chessboard.
And now we've said
down with the chessboard. And Martha, by the way, is very comfortable. She's just walking around this house like, well, I need something to eat. You know, these luncheons are terrible. Nobody feeds you anything. Store-bought pie, that's disgusting. Oh, God, what a horrible teapot. Well, this was fun. All right, go see you later. Thanks a lot for getting me cameras. Love you. Bye. But Martha kind of needed to be the housewife here. I mean, did Martha work at Scores? No. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. God, Bethany must be so mad that she was never able to pull Martha for her home scenes.
She's like, well, I mean, I would cook her something fresh. I'd make her cookies. I'd do everything for her. Like, she never would come over. Like, I would ask her so many times, she would never come over. But then she goes over to see Daisy. I don't know, there used to be a reckoning, a Martha reckoning.
I was the one on Martha Stewart Apprentice, all right? Like, what the hell? I should have been the one.
No wonder if that bothered, because that was the one that she came in second on, right? Or did
second
she win?
Place. No, she
Martha
lost.
Martha Stewart's Apprentice.
She was first place in a long line of losers, as they say.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Sai's apartment. She's got a new apartment. That's great that you're living in the city and stuff. I know that's important to people. Loved her Brooklyn place, though. That Brooklyn place was amazing. This one, I miss the Brooklyn one.
Brooklyn place was great. Yeah, well, it was like a townhouse, and this was just like an apartment, so that's hard. But Jessel shows up. Jessel's just told Pavitt, like, you have to go pick up the kids for rock climbing. And
we don't hear what Pavitt says, but it's probably something like, well, I'm testing out a new bao bun recipe in the air fryer.
It's like, could you do that later, Pavitt? Why do you have to do that right now? Your children are hanging on to a rock in a public space. Please go get the children. Please, Bobbit.
Jess was like, hello, so I brought you a candle. It's pine scented. She was like, what did you do? Did you just like re-gift this from Christmas? Yes, I probably did. Anyway, hello.
It's like, this is definitely from Christmas, Jessel.
She shows her another gold candle or something. And Jessel's one of those people. She goes,
yeah, whenever someone moves into a new space, I like to bring them candles.
Thank God. One of those. Please.
Get your fucking candles out of here. What are you telling me? A, that I stink, or B, that you want my house to burn down? Like, I don't think candles are a nice thing to give people. I don't know why everybody gives candles all the time. I have like a stack of candles in my fucking closet that I have to put out whenever somebody comes over because they gave me that candle, and they're always coming in there, and candles last 30 years, and they're always coming to my house like, well, where's the candle I got you? You know, how people look around for the gift that they gave you. So I've got a closet full of this shit. They're all re-gifts. None of you went and cared about this candle. Get out of here.
Also,
bring me a pizza.
Most candles smell wretched too, by the way. Like, I haven't, like, very few candles have I actually enjoyed the scent of. Almost all of them I hate. So anytime someone gives me a candle, I like, it almost has a direct path to the trash.
Scented things in general, I don't appreciate as a gift because I feel like you're telling me I smell. And in the case of my niece, I really love my niece and I think that she does think I smell. Well, both of them, both my nieces buy me scented shit all the time, which at this point you're telling me I smell. Just tell me I smell. Yeah.
which I do sometimes. But she gave me this body. It's like, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Well, who cares? It's called Bum Bum or something. It's like a body. There's body spray and cream and all this shit. And so I wore it because I was going to see her, and I knew that she would smell me and be like, oh, I wonder if Uncle's wearing what I gave him. And so I wore it. Can I tell you, this stuff smelled like nuclear waste? And I had to walk around.
I believe it. I believe every ounce of that.
I felt like if someone lit a candle, I would start on fire. I was like, what is this chemical crap that you just put all over me? So, no. Yeah, don't buy people scented things. So, anyway, Jessel brings Sai a scented thing. And Sai's like,
well, so much has changed in the last year. We finally moved to Manhattan. I got an apartment. Work is killing it. Kids are getting older. And you know what? I got a new best friend. Jessel. Who would have thought?
Well, everybody else got fired. I mean, what are you going to do at this point?
Yeah, it's either Jessel or Aaron. I mean, like, it's a pretty obvious pick. So Jessel's like, you know, I used to call her Cyanide, and she did have a notorious resting bitch face, but now we're starting to maybe see maybe a crack and a smile. I still call her Cyanide, though, because she's deadly boring. But again, it's either her or Aaron, so who am I going to pick? Am I right?
I forgot that she called her Cyanide. That shit's funny. So Sai's like, you know, in the PS, I thought Jessel was a snob. And then I realized it was just a Peppa Pig British accent that was really throwing me off.
Jeez. But I actually trust her and consider her one of my closest friends. Oh my God, did I actually just say that? It's true. Better than Povit, at least. And so they're talking about Manhattan, and Jessel's like, so does David like it here? And Sai's like,
I mean, I don't really care how he feels.
And so Jessel's like, what? What?
It's like, I mean, it's just, we've completely drifted apart. Like, we do nothing together. Like, all I do is work. I get up and I work. You know, and on top of that, like, carrying the entire house around. Like, taking care of a lot of kids and filling out forms and, like, doing clothes and figuring out things and this and that or whatever. I feel so alone.
Yeah, I got a job, but it's not enough.
And Jessel's like, but I thought he retired and that was enough money that from selling his business that he could stay home and help and do all that. I thought he was rich. What are you talking about?
She's like, surprise! That was all bullshit. So basically, I make the money. David's a fucking loser and sits around and does nothing. But he did open the door that one time, as the editors will show.
The editors are like, okay, his name is David, right? He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Come on in, you sweet, gorgeous woman. All right, got it. Thought that was fishy that a guy retires from selling a restaurant. So, yeah.
I know, a restaurant. I was like, he worked in hospitality, right? But I mean, over the past few months, Sai has definitely been dropping breadcrumbs. And of course, Pavit's been taking photos of each and every one of them saying it's a new food trend. He's such an idiot. I married a true idiot. But anyway, I knew that they were going through a rough patch. But before that, she always pretended that she was in a happy marriage.
Yeah. And so we see Sai in the past talking about how I couldn't do any of this without David. No, he's so amazing. David opening the doors and stuff. So Sai's like,
well, I was keeping it from everybody because I'm trying to protect him. Fuck him now, though. Fuck him now. Seriously. She's like, I'm so embarrassed.
And she cries. And Jessel's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? But he's your husband. You have kids together. I mean, that means you have to see him, don't you? I mean, you can't leave a husband, can you? Wait a minute. Can I leave Puppet? She's just looking at her like, what? I don't understand.
Wait, I didn't realize that this was an option. I don't actually have to sit and go to Outer Boroughs and eat fried chicken with Puppet anymore. Wait a second, you're an inspiration, Cyanide.
So you're telling me that if I wanted to opt out from trying the Forest Lawn version of Five Guys just for a TikTok, I'd be able to opt out?
Yeah, kill him.
What? Kill him?
Yeah. I killed David. David's not even here anymore. He's dead. I've killed him.
So all of this is an option. Just Jessel's looking at her like, a whole new world.
Wow, this is as liberating as the time I found out that my socially inept child had a school to go to. So, Sai is like,
you know what? I convinced myself that what I was going through was normal. And I was telling myself I was happy every day. And I was sort of like, okay, he's going to come. He's going to get up. He's going to change. But at this point, I'm at my breaking point.
I'm like, listen, we understand. We were at our breaking point too, watching your show. So Jessel is like, well, I knew they were going through a hard time, but like, I just didn't think it was going to be a point of no return. It's so exciting. I can't wait to do this to Parfit.
Yeah,
she's like, oh my God, I just want to say, Jessel, I am so sorry for the way that I treated you about your marriage. Because, you know, I said your marriage sucks. You guys don't have a connection. Your husband's losing. You're a loser. You're a twat. Your husband's a twat. You know, I shouldn't have said that stuff, you know. Maybe it's because I was going through stuff. You know, I wasn't in a good place. And I'm so sorry that I made you feel bad about being in a terrible relationship just because I'm in a terrible...
But I'm not in a terrible relationship.
You are. You are. And I'm so sorry for you. And I'm sorry I said it out loud. You should be allowed to be in a terrible relationship in silence. You know?
No, it's really hard. I want you to feel comfortable in knowing that you're not alone. Anyone else know what you're going through? And by the way, you are alone. I just want to point that out. It's funny because as I started to say the words, you're not alone, it made me realize you're actually alone right now, Sai. Think about it.
Sai.
You've left your husband.
Listen, I want you to feel you're not alone until I leave this room. And then you'll be alone. Very, very alone.
Yeah, well, you'll be in a five quad. You'll be in a five guys in Forest Lawn. All right, what's better?
Do you happen to know any super famous waspy octogenarian media moguls?
No.
Okay, then you are officially alone. Yes, no one will be coming to your apartment.
So, Sai has told Daisy and Aaron, but she did ask Aaron not to tell anybody. And she's like, oh, well, you already know how I feel about Aaron. And she tells us her and Aaron have had their differences, but they did lose their fathers at the same time, and that really bonds people. So they bonded over that. But then, at the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip finale, she heard that Aaron was going around calling her fake, stupid, and dumb, and all sorts of shit. She doesn't like it.
Yeah, and Jessel is not happy, but Jessel says, but don't worry, Sai. I am a vault.
I'm a vault too.
And so then they both do the thing with like lip zipped, which never works out. There's never been a vault in the history of Housewives that has stayed closed. So now we go to Haley Glassman, and she is rollerblading in a fur coat and a hat in the middle of the street while vaping. And we dissected this scene very intensely on our trailer trash for Roni. And it was nice to see it in its full context now.
Yeah, she does seem kind of like a Carol type. Somebody who's like, look at me. I rollerblade in the street. I'm so fun and youthful. But she's a little AI. Does seem to be enjoying her life.
Mm-hmm. I think she's AI generated. It's like someone said, ChatGPT, generate a housewife. Like, well, a housewife goes in the middle of the street like Kelly Ben Simone, so it's her. Like, gotta have some Carol face, gotta have the fur. And here we go. And we have created Haley Glassman, your AI generated housewife.
Yeah, I couldn't tell how much of this is like, oh, let's do a throwback. Remember Kelly? We'll do a Kelly moment, but with somebody else. So she goes to Haley's pied a terre. And then Aaron comes, and she's talking to Abe on the phone. She's like, oh, my God, Abe. My mom has our 9-year-old, and, like, she's, like, bitching. And she's like, oh, my God, your daughter's a little fucker. Like, what are we going to do about her? Like, what are you going to do about her behavior? Like, I don't know, Abe. Like, what am I supposed to do? She's a kid. Like,
So she goes.
Teach my kids not to be assholes? Like, give me a break, Abe.
Oh, my God. Abe, hold on one second. I'm delighting America with my return. Okay, just hold on. So she goes up to Haley's pied-à-terre. And we find out that Haley has two apartments. She's like, oh, yeah, I've always got to have two apartments. I've always got to have two. Okay, you always got to have two, you know, because because of Ruben. And so Ruben is like her partner. And Haley says, honestly, I would recommend a pied-à-terre to all women in a long-term relationship. I have been married for 15 years now. In the apartment Ruben and I do share, I do dishes every single day because he won't do it or make a bed, and I feel like a servant. But in my pied-à-terre, it's like Haley's rules. So, guys, that's it. You know, if you want to be in a happier marriage, just buy a whole other piece of real estate for yourself. It's pretty easy to do.
Listen, I'm into her lifestyle. I love it. She has a husband, but she has her own place, so she doesn't have to deal with his ass and his dirty dishes. And she fucks whoever she wants. Like, she goes and brings them places. Like, you don't even have to hide it. She's just bringing them places. I mean, if that's marriage, I would consider it. I would consider it. Why not?
So she's showing Aaron around, and Aaron is like shocked because the fridge is just nothing but protein bars and like seltzers or something like that. She's like, does anyone actually live here? Haley is truly one of a kind. The first time we were planning to meet for drinks, she wanted to meet at 5 p.m. for a cappuccino. That is not my wheelhouse. Guys, America, aren't you so glad I'm back? Can you believe it? 5 p.m. for a cappuccino? I'm just gonna let that roll to the back of the room. Guys, Aaron, I'm back.
Caffeine at night, not my vibe. But, you know, I ordered a cocktail because it was 5 p.m., like a normal person. But, you know, she's like a good person. You can tell even though she's fucking crazy. Oh, my God, do you even have food in your fridge? And she's like, yeah, I mean, I got protein shakes and protein bars. You want that? That's all I eat.
It's like, and look, here's my draw of sunglasses. It's like, sunglasses are like everything. When you walk around New York City, if you lock eyes with someone, they think that's like a green light to say hi, and I keep my sunglasses on because I'm telling you, don't say hi. So then they sit down to talk, and this is one of my favorite parts of the episode, is that like Haley has some sort of like broken corkscrew or something. And like over the duration of the scene, they are trying to open this wine bottle and it like will not open. And like first Erin starts like doing like a sob story about all the stresses in her life. And Haley's just sitting there trying to open it like endlessly. It's like just twisting it and the thing keeps falling off. And Erin's crying, trying to have a scene. And you can see Haley's not paying attention. We're not paying attention. We're all just focused on this wine bottle. I was like, this was to me actually, this was sort of like a holdover from old school Roni. This is the sort of like gag moment that you would have in old school Roni. And so I was really, really happy that they included it and they emphasized it because it's like, this is what we've been wanting, are moments like these.
Oh my gosh, just her with that broken corkscrew. And she's like, here, give it to me. I'll do it. So yeah, go ahead. She's not doing anything. First of all, the screw part is already in the cork. The other thing is not even on the screw. Okay. So there's no way to fix this. So she just keeps kind of tapping the corkscrew with the rest of it. She's like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. What are you talking about? Aaron's like, oh my God, this is like a sound transforming. She is really trying to cry, and this woman is staring off into space, just poking the edge of a wine bottle.
I know. Like, Aaron is trying to have the emotional scene that Sai just had. She's like, well, it's the beginning of the season. I got to show people I'm going through things. I've got to be more emotional. I've got to open my heart more for America. So she's like, my daughter's been going through things. She's been acting out and being stressful. And like, it's just like, there's, I'm speaking to people. And like, and Haley's just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Tap, 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 tap. Uh-huh, tap, tap, tap.
Yeah. So Haley's like, I'm in my head. Like, what's going on? Because I'm very empathetic. But she didn't take her shoes off. And I'm a germaphobe. And now she's crying. And like, how do you tell someone to take off their shoes when they're crying? You can't do that. So I'm just sitting here poking a wine bottle.
So I think they must have gotten like a new bottle or something. I don't know. Because next thing we know, Haley's at the counter and she's pouring wine. I'd like to know what really happened with that cork. Because I was 100% invested in how she was going to fix that. And then they cheers to being good, like to Aaron being an amazing mom. And Haley's like, in all honesty, you're an amazing mom. That's why we just cheered to that. And everyone's like, well, I'm far from it, but thank you. She's like, well, you know, the truth is all mother-daughter relationships are complicated. Yeah, I'm just going to say some basic things just to get you to shut up.
Listen, I'm really just telling you this so we can stop talking about whatever you're talking about, and I can show a clip of my mother tap dancing in her very special tap dancing room. Okay? Because yeah. I get mothers and daughters hating each other. My mother's a Looney Tune, and she dances in her house, and she has a whole room just to tap dance. All right, put in the picture now. Put it in. And then we see Haley's mom, and she's, like, full on. She's got a full mirror in there, and she's, like, twirling around. Doing her tap dancing.
She's just tapping. And then she's like, I love my mom very much, but I've always wanted to appease her. And like, I was in charge of her well-being and her happiness. And I've always had so much guilt. You know, if she was sad and depressed, then I'll give you, here's an example. So the reason why I dated John is because he was my mom's friend. And she was like, oh, he's a great guy. So I dated him. And then it turns out that the John she's mentioning is John Gosselin.
Ew.
Which I'd forgotten that she was this girl. Like, I'd forgotten about this entire affair.
I guess I heard a rumor back in the day, or 2 months ago, that that was going to be the case. But I just, it didn't cross my mind again until she said it. And I was like, oh, so this is a person who makes very, very bad choices. And also yes. Understand, like, if you're going to go, well, I don't know if she cheated or not. She's telling us in this she didn't. But whether they, well, I shouldn't say she cheated because she wasn't married, but if she had an affair with someone that was married, why would you choose someone with 8 damn kids that's on TLC and that has the original Karen hair who's going to never let up on you for the rest of your life? Are you nuts?
Yeah, it's because he was super famous at the time. I had forgotten about this scandal 100%. And I actually only vaguely
remember. So were the Duck Dynasty guys. You see anybody falling over themselves to suck their dicks?
Yeah, there are probably. Maybe.
I probably would. I'd be, oh my God, show me your duck whistle. Okay, sorry, Ben, go ahead.
No, but like I had like a vague memory of this, like that he had this mistress. This was like, you know, this was right. It was such an aughts thing. And it was like, this was like the height of like Joel McHale and The Soup and all that stuff. And I like vaguely remembered her from back. I was like, oh yeah, Haley Glassman, it does sound familiar. Am I convincing myself that it sounds familiar? And I looked at the picture. They show the pictures and it's like, she looks 1000% different. Like the only way you can see the original Haley Glassman is when she smiles. When she smiles, you see her original face. But it's like, I was like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Who is this? It was crazy. It was like a trip down memory lane and then like a jolt into the present, trying to figure out how the two storylines connected together.
Yeah. Well, who needs her original face? I sure don't. Who needs it? I see pictures of it on Facebook sometimes and I'm like, well, pass.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose. She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.